My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the trembling in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Maybe we're going to have a variety of conversation here, but that's usually the case when my next guest and I get together each week. We have this thought about what we think we're going to talk about. And then it seems as though the Holy Spirit might lead us in some different directions. But let's start out with what I think is a critical issue, and that is the issue of the Speaker of the House. And let me welcome Melanie Collette to the program. Melanie, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. The reason I said what I said, folks, is that Melanie was asking me how I'm doing, and I am physically having some significant challenges related to some work that we're doing on my upper back and my neck that I've been having issues with since the accident. And so I have a therapist that is helping to release pressure points and break up some really bad knots. I had a severe tension. They call it a tension headache, where they actually shot lidocaine into the back of my neck and my head in order to numb that area, in order to create some relief from the spasming that was going on, to give me some relief. And then I started having the same issue on the other side of my head. And so we have made a referral to a therapist who is working on subluxation and what have you, and doing a really wonderful job. But when you break all of that up, you release toxins into the system, you release things into the system, and you shock the nerves, and there's a lot of stuff that goes with it. So I'm experiencing fevers, and I'm experiencing chills, and I'm experiencing sweats, and I'm experiencing some nausea, and I'm experiencing some feelings of disorientation, and we're trying to deal with some issues regarding seizures, and there's just a lot of different stuff that's going on with Pastor right now.
Wow.
So pray for me. I know God's got this, and I know God's got me, and I know that at the end, as we work through this, I'm going to be doing a whole lot better on the other side of this. But there's, you know, you from every time you reach a mountaintop, you see further on down the road, and you're going to have to go back down into the valley and fight your way through the next valley in order to get to the next mountaintop. And that is how God's kingdom is expanded. It's how the world works. It's how life works. As you know, each pinnacle, for every pinnacle that you reach, you see another pinnacle, and you know that that next pinnacle is the next step in the journey. And look, if we're not growing, we're dying. So, and we're slowly dying anyway, but we might as well be growing as we do it. So that's the growth. And the growth is you're going from these mountaintops, but people like to try to make it a jump. They like to try to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. Well, it's you can try that. But as you work your way through the valley, what you'll find is there's a whole lot of people that are pretty busted up because they took that jump and they made it about halfway, but from midair they crashed.
Such a good illustration, Pastor.
Such
a good illustration.
Praise God.
I needed to hear.
As opposed to taking the decline, you know, going down into the valley and then fighting your way through that valley and up the mountain on the other side. Okay, it may take you a little bit longer, but the reality is you're going to be better prepared to take the next hill when you reach the bottom of that hill, because you'll be strengthened by what happened from the last top of the mountain, working your way down, using the strength and the muscles and all that you used to get down to the floor, and then using the muscles that you used and built to get through the valley to prepare you to climb the next one.
Okay, so because I'm in a valley, so to speak, running for election, I feel like I'm in a valley.
Sure.
But really what I'm doing is I'm building muscle.
Exactly.
I'm building muscle for the success part.
Yep. I credit my bishop friend in Africa, Bishop Mike Okonkwo, has a saying, and he says this: if you show up too soon, you'll show up too small.
Oh, that should be my motto.
Should be on a that should be on a t-shirt somewhere, right? If you show up, if you show up too soon, you'll show up too small. My goodness, when was I there? It was 02 or 04 at their national conference. He was preaching, and he made that statement, and it has stuck with me ever since. If you show up too soon, you'll show up too small.
I promise you, I'm going to make a graphic with that. You have to send me that in the name of the person who said it. I do not want to take credit for it. But I promise you, I'm doing a graphic with that on it.
I'll do that. Yeah,
that's gold.
Yeah, I'll do that. No, it's a powerful statement, and you know, it's an encouraging statement. I'm going to tell you folks, because you know, if you listened to our last hour, you heard David Shostokas and I talking about, you know, the challenges that we're facing, and really. We are so not getting straight the recognition of the battle that we are really actually in, and it's a significant battle that we're in, and you might think, you know, we've lost the battle. There's a lot of concerns with regards to that. When you look at, you know, and we'll talk here for a couple of minutes about the Speaker of the House situation and what's gone on with that. I hope that Representative Johnson, who they're now saying is they're going to unite behind Mike Johnson. I hope that, you know, that he turns out to be the right guy. I thought that this time around that they might select Byron Donalds. I think he would have been a great choice.
So did I.
I really do. I'm hoping that Johnson does not turn out to be, I know Emmers was not even McCarthy light. Emmers was McCarthy. So I'm hoping that Johnson is not that. Some of the votes that he has made it pretty clear that he's not voting with that block. So that's a very positive thing in my estimation. But there's a lot of folks that are concerned that at this point, the strength and resolve of the uniparty and the swamp is such that it's going to be difficult to get this ship turned in the right direction, and we're seeing that there, you know, what's happening in Israel. I'm right now, Israel is being attacked from Lebanon, from Syria, from Yemen, and from Gaza. Now, that's four fronts. Israel has to respond very strongly. They've got to wipe some of these people clean off the map, and they should be wiped off the map.
You don't really have a choice if the people who are existing, they have put it in writing that their goal is to exterminate you. I don't feel like you have a choice. Nope. At that point.
No, you absolutely don't. And so, their goal is to completely and totally displace Israel and wipe the Jews off the map. And we better understand, because this is World War II all over again. This is Hitler. This is historic, folks. when they came for all the Jews, they came for the Christians with them.
There were
nearly 6 million Christians that were killed as well. No disrespect to the 6 million Jews and the Holocaust. That's not what this is about. This is about recognizing that while they were exterminating the Jews, they were exterminating Christians. Now, most of those Christians were helping the Jewish people or trying to protect them or trying to stand in the gap, but they saw the godlessness of the Nazi regime.
Mm-hmm.
And those that stood against godlessness were wiped out. They killed them.
Yep. They had their own, on their uniforms, they had their own particular insignia, if I recall correctly. I think it was a purple triangle, the Christians did. And they had their own designation.
Yep.
During the Holocaust, but they absolutely killed Christians too. And you know, Pastor Greg, I don't think that people talk about that enough or even realize that enough. And, you know, the Christians that are, you know, by proxy supporting Hamas maybe need to understand that. But they don't understand that about communism either. They do not get that component. Otherwise, you would be on the side of being anti-China and anti-invasion with them coming undocumented into our country, because you would understand what communism means. I think they only look at it from an economic perspective and not the spiritual perspective. I don't think many. I didn't know until I did my master's thesis on it on Google in China. And I did not know that they were not allowed to have Bibles. Had no idea.
See, and a lot of people don't understand that. I'm going to see if I can't. Let me see if I can refresh this now.
We are looking at a gigantic contract before our eyes. We don't live in a democracy in this country or in America or in these other places. We live in a one-party state where the same force from the peak of the pyramid string pulls all sides. The creation of a one world government, to which nation states would be principalities, administrative units, a world central bank which would administer all financial transactions on the planet, a world currency which wouldn't be coins and notes, it would be merely electronic, cashless society, for which there are fundamental implications for freedom, as we'll see as we go along tonight. A world army under centralized control, with nation state armies dismantled under the justification of seeking peace, and a microchipped population linked to a global computer, the latter of which sounds bizarre to many people on first hearing, except that we are ridiculously close to it and the technology already exists. So World Health Organization says there's going to be a measles epidemic next year. Get vaccinated. Get your children vaccinated. You're a bad parent if you don't. And the same people that organize that, they start plugging out the vaccine and make a fortune out of it. So if we take one element of that on the problem reaction solution, it's amazing the extent to which we have given our power away. Our spiritual power. It's all about taking our power back. Because once we do that, it's all over. We are...
Woo! I had a friend of mine pass that to me this morning. And I just felt, you know, I mean, I get a lot of those kinds of things. But I really felt led to listen to David Icke and what he had to say. Is that not sending... Do you know when that's from?
Is that the one, the video from 1969?
1996.
1996.
Yeah, 1996. Yeah. And think about it. We got the WEF. Okay? We have a push towards this global banking. We have a push towards digital banking. There are a number of companies out there today that will tell you, keep your cash. We don't want cash. We don't want checks. We only want electronics. They're chipping hands so you can wave your hand over a processor now, and that's how you make your payment.
Well, I mean, they're even close to it with the phone. I mean, we've been doing that with our phones for how long? Just waving it at the receiver.
Yep. As a matter of fact, you know, you mentioned about communism and I think you mentioned China, but CCP, that's how, I mean, everyone in China must have a phone. And Nan Sue and I did a conversation about this over three years ago now, when we first did the breaking in of the story regarding what was really going on in Wuhan, the 10,000 family gathering that took place, how they spread the disease. Yes, it was deadly. 7.6 million cell phones went silent in China. Now, understand that every cell phone, if you live in China, your whole world exists based on that cell phone. And if you're not carrying your cell phone, they'll take you out. You have to carry your cell phone, period, because they monitor everywhere you are by facial recognition, by tracking systems, all of it. They know where every citizen is. The underground churches are having a huge issue trying to remain anonymous.
Underground, right?
So it's what you said. We're so much closer to all of this. You know, it's just like when you read some of the prophetic, you say, "Oh, well, that, you know, I've mentioned it before. You and I talked about it. The guillotines." Right. We talked about, you know, a couple of our conversations ago. Guillotines. Well, they don't need guillotines because now they've got jihadists that are running around the world cutting people's heads off.
Listen, and you know, I said to a friend, I think I told you a little bit about this conversation last week when we first started talking about what's going on in Israel. And a friend of mine said, I don't know if I'm team Israel anymore. And one of the things that he did was sent me a video, a couple of videos about how the regime is racist. Here's what I found interesting, right? Now, I'm not saying that the regime is racist. I'm just saying that these are what these videos asserted. And they were like news reports. And I promise you, I said to him, I said, you know, without the accents, you would think the same conversation is going on in the United States. They were talking about, you know, the Ethiopian Jews being pulled over and harassed by the cops. It was saying how Israel's not really down with, you know, the black Ethiopians who also consider themselves Jews. They don't consider themselves real Jews. They don't have the same rights, et cetera, et cetera. So I said to my friend, I said, you know, if you pull back and just kind of look at this from the macro, I said, it seems to me that the same strategies and tactics to divide us are just being used in all these different countries. I said, think about it. I said, it's just like with world religions. If you've ever studied different religions besides Christianity, there's a common thread, which is there's good and evil, right? Which is perceived different ways in every religion. And there's always a Messiah. In every religion, there's some version of a Messiah. And I said to me, like I said, I see parallels here when you step back and look at the macro and it just being an entire plan, which, by the way, if none of it exists, would mean the Bible isn't true. And so that's the place where I find solace, right? Like, all of this stuff is absolutely terrible, but if it wasn't, then it would mean the Bible...
That's an interesting point because, you know, when you think about, for example, there's always been debates about the flood. But if you look at ancient civilizations, every ancient civilization marks and discusses and talks about a flood.
Yep, absolutely.
China's ancient history contained writings about a flood. You know, the Russian area contained writings about a flood. Mexico, they contain writings about a flood. Every single one of the ancient civilizations has a flood story.
Yep.
And then you find, right, you know, how do you explain, you know, the fossils they found in New Mexico and Arizona, right? How do you explain the ones they found in China that they will let us know about, or in Russia, or down in Mexico, or what? These are, I mean, how do they get there?
Right.
Right? How do they get carried there without the world having experienced these kinds of things. So it is, exactly. It's very interesting to note. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, Jesus taught about, you know, beware of false this and false that. And Paul warns us the same way, because man is always trying to, well, it's not even man, because it really isn't. It's Satan. Satan is always trying to imitate God and then get people to buy into that. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because as far as, you know, America's not founded on racism. It's not. No. I don't believe that you believe that. It's not. But here's the issue. Man is wicked and man is evil. And we are manipulated regularly to believe certain things. Man, I've been watching videos about, you know, about young black kids beating up white kids and targeting these kids. And if you did a search, you'll find video after video after video where they're putting this kind of stuff up. Now, is it happening as frequently as the videos would lead you to believe? I don't know. But is it an issue? And have they taken young people and caused them now to hate one another, predicated on color of skin? Let me see. CRT. Everybody said, oh, there's no such thing as CRT. Ladies and gentlemen, watch the videos. These young black people are told that the white person hates them and they should eliminate them. They've been told that now for 12 years of school, 10 years of school. And now they're in high school and they're big enough and they're strong enough to maybe think they can do something about it. And mm-hmm. so they see this person as evil, as their enemy, though they don't know anything about them, nothing about them. But they have been taught and trained to believe it. And unfortunately, this has been in our system for 40 years. They've been doing, 50 years, 60 years. They've been doing this since Johnson.
Yep.
So they've convinced generations of black Americans that white America is your problem and hates you.
And if it weren't for all the white people, we'd be doing so much better. Actually, we'd be doing so much worse, because white people fought in the Civil War. White people fought and died during the Civil Rights Movement.
Yep.
For all the evil that there has been, there have been people of all colors that have helped. And so you can't just ignore that, in my opinion, not if you're going to be intellectually honest.
There you go. All right, we've again run out of time. We'll have to see what happens. We'll probably, you know, hopefully we're not talking about, you know, who's the Speaker of the House next week as far as it being unsettled. But we may be talking next week about, okay, now what is the new Speaker of the House going to do that's different, right? You know, is same horse, is the new horse the same as the old horse, or is the new horse going to be a better version, and are we actually going to finally go in the right direction? Boy, I hope so.
I hope so. We have a debt ceiling to address. We have, you know, all these wars all over the world to address. They have a lot to do. They need to get to work.
No doubt. Melanie Collette, my regular guest, MoneyTalkWithMelanie.com. MoneyTalkWithMelanie.com. You can see it there on the screen. You can find her there. Encourage you to do so. And I'll be back with Claire Lopez and Rick Manning, and we'll be talking about the CCP's influence on Hamas and some breaking news that I'm getting from David regarding some of the things that are happening over there and how critical the next 48 hours may be. We'll talk about that coming up next. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being with us. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, I've got a great segment lined up for you here, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. I've been getting a bunch of texts, by the way, from Dr. Wormser, and I'll have him back on Friday, and I'll potentially introduce a couple of those things in our conversation, but I want to welcome Claire Lopez, our national security expert and our guest for this segment, and Rick Manning, my co-host for this segment. Rick, Claire, welcome. Good to have you all with me.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're great and timely.
It is, wow. The world is not the same place that it was before the 7th of October, is it?
No, it's not. And it cannot be.
No, I would agree.
That's a great answer.
So to that point, you know, there's a lot of pushback, and Israel has been hesitant in its response to what is happening and what has happened within the last couple of days. They just released and they brought a lot of foreign correspondents in. They played them roughly a 43-minute conglomeration
montage, right?
Yeah, right, of videos, not that they took, but that were out on social media, taken by Hamas as they did these things. They're the ones who did them. And they got to see these things, and they were horrified by what they saw. I've seen just 1 minute clips. I've heard people who have seen these things, which they said you can't unsee. But there's still, Israel has been essentially buffered from responding, in large part because of Biden and this administration.
Well, I'm not sure that that hesitation, as you know, you said on the part of Israel, is necessarily because they're holding back. They had a huge logistics challenge to, first of all, call up all those reservists, over 300,000 of them, equip them, set them up around the area of Gaza, also sending some of them to the northern border to guard against Hezbollah and its provocations that are ongoing. And then also, I think the other major factor here, well, two of them. One is the aerial campaign by the IDF to take out as many of the Hamas targets, meaning launch sites, munition sites, headquarters sites for the Hamas and the PIJ, that's Palestinian Islamic Jihad, jihadis, as they possibly can before launching. And the second part of that is I think they are working very hard together probably with others, including the United States, to get as many hostages located and freed as possible. Located, first of all, just to map where they are, and then those that can be released and freed, they're working on that too.
Well, and to just buffer a little bit of what I was talking about too, we have to understand as well, America needed to prepare their bases and their troops to defend themselves, knowing that a lot of the response by that world was going to come against American bases. And according to some of what I've been getting in messaging, that has been happening. And unfortunately, initially, Blinken and Biden both came out publicly and gave indications that, oh, we don't know for sure what Iran's going to do or if they're going to attack. Or I mean, they were already attacking when they made those statements. How dangerous is it for America not to appear, I guess, strong itself when it comes to what's happening to our soldiers over there?
It's incredibly foolish and dangerous. This is a neighborhood. This is a society. This is a region where appearances and actual demonstrations of strength are all important. You do not ever, ever, ever let an attack go without responding immediately and forcefully. That is something, a lesson that our United States current administration officials anyway have never learned. They don't understand what the psychology of these people in the Middle East is, and what it is strong horse versus weak horse. If we do not respond, and I've heard as well as you, Pastor Greg, that something like at least a dozen of our United States service members have been injured, not killed yet, but injured in the last several days, week maybe. In attacks by Iranian proxies, proxy militias, the Hashd al-Shaabi in Iraq and others in Syria, well, what used to be called Syria, and those attacks continue, drone attacks, missile attacks on bases where Americans are stationed. And we have not struck back. That's a critical mistake.
Well, there also have been uprisings. There was a huge uprising in Germany. There was a particularly strategic bridge in Germany. It was an area where historically is signaled as a place of conquer. And the Muslims gathered in that place at Brandenburg Gate in Berlin, which was, again, an area where the communists, you know, staged their control. So it has huge historic significance when it comes to that. And they just gathered there and quote unquote had their, you know, peaceful, but they gathered and basically took that area over. If I'm not mistaken, about a week or so ago, they did the same thing, at the Mall of the Americas where there was a large gathering.
Well, Rick, I don't want to take up all the time. If you want to cut in here, do.
Well, I just wanted to ask, as long as we're talking about, and Pastor Greg, you're right, the this call for an international jihad has led to a shocking display of how the Western world's been infiltrated let's put it this way, Muslims who have not become part of the society that they joined. They've remained their singleness and their single-mindedness towards international jihad. So that's shocking. But I was struck that we now have three carrier groups in the region, according to reports. We know that we have ships in the Arabian Sea because we know that the Houthi, Iranian proxy, the Houthis in Yemen, fired 5 cruise missiles and tried to send a bunch of drones north to attack Israel. And the American destroyer took them out of the air and destroyed those attacks. We now have three carrier groups, and without any, kind of national security implications, how many carrier groups do we have in the world?
Well, I think what we have are actually two carrier strike groups. One is the Gerald Ford, USS Gerald Ford, steaming in the Eastern Mediterranean. The other one is the USS Dwight Eisenhower coming across the Atlantic, I believe, to head for the Persian Gulf. But the third group, naval group, if you will, is the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, which is located in the Red Sea right now. And they're the ones, a destroyer by the name of Kearney, USS Kearney, took out those incoming drones and missiles coming from Yemen, the Iranian proxies, just as you say, Rick, the Houthis towards Israel. But I wanted to pick up on another point you just made, Rick, and that was about the unvetted hordes of millions of migrants coming up into Europe, allowed to come up into Europe from the Middle East. And there are many of them in places like Britain and Netherlands, and Belgium, and of course Germany. But I would draw the parallel then with our own wide open southern border, across which have come millions, again, untold millions, unvetted, unchecked, unbackground anything, spread out all over the United States. And again, just as you said, Rick, these are not all of them people who are coming here or to Europe, to assimilate and become part of a liberal Western-style democratic society. They are there to take over. They are there on hijra out of Islamic doctrine and history. They're not there to assimilate to a Judeo-Christian-based society such as Europe's used to be, and I guess we used to be too.
Let me jump in on that for just a second, if I might, regarding the college campus issue. Because we have now movements happening. We've seen them on UCLA is one that comes to mind, but a variety of the Ivy League college campuses, Harvard is another one, that are essentially kind of like host hubs to receive the people you're talking about coming into the United States and basically give them cover for whatever other activities they may be wanting to be involved in.
Right. Well, the reason, one of the reasons anyway, that university campuses have become such hubs, as you say, Pastor Greg, not only that the directors, the presidents, the faculty of such places, long time ago have been taken over and co-opted by the Marxist communist left, but these universities also, since the 1960s and the establishment in 1964 of the very first Muslim Brotherhood front group in the United States, the Muslim Students Association, these campuses have become hubs for the Muslim Brotherhood. Now you'll see demonstrations by Students for Justice in Palestine. Well, what is that? That is the campus branch of the American Muslims for Palestine, a Muslim Brotherhood front group, very close to the Turkish Muslim Brotherhood government and the AKP, Justice and Development Party, that rules there with Erdogan. But the AMP is also a founding member of the USCMO, United States Council of Muslim Organizations, the Muslim Brotherhood's political umbrella group. So what I'm saying is that it's the red-green axis that you're looking at on campus, the communist Marxists in league with the Islamic forces of the Muslim Brotherhood in particular, both of whose aims coincide with each other to destroy and overturn American society and government and our country. Sure.
Well, and now we have evidence related to the supernova party that took place, the 260 bodies that were found out in the desert. And one of the things that has become apparent and understood is that many of the workers that were working that concert were actually undercover terrorists. Not only were they terrorists, but they're the ones that opened up the gates and brought their friends in so that that attack could take place. And, you know, it's like, you know, one of the analogies that was shared with me is it's like having your gardener and you think, okay, I can trust my gardener. I can trust them to come in and da-da-da-da-da. And while you're in the kitchen, all of a sudden the gardener breaks into your house and then starts going door to door, slaughtering you and your neighbors.
Well, this gets to the point about, well, all the people in Gaza are really not supportive of Hamas. Well, how many are and how many aren't? And I would call them what they are. They're jihadis. They're Islamic terrorists. They're jihadis. They're on a mission to destroy Israel and murder as many of the Jewish people as they possibly can, according to the Hamas covenant, of course.
Right.
Written, published in 1988.
Rick,
they are jihadis.
Rick, let me throw this to you because this is something that I know that, you know, and you mentioned this in a conversation we had, I think, last week. You've talked a lot about, you know, your concerns about our engagement and involvement in Ukraine. Now we have people that are trying to tie Ukraine and Israel together and suggest that these are the same battle. You've talked about that. Can you help people understand the difference?
Sure. I think that people need to take a look at what J.D. Vance, a senator from Ohio, put out yesterday to get a full scale on this. But essentially, we all know that my position on Ukraine has been less hawkish than yours and Claire's. Okay, let's put it that way. But to try to tie the funding of Ukraine to the funding in Israel is a massive mistake. They are not moral equivalents. We can argue the morality on Ukraine, but in terms of Israel, we're supporting an ally, somebody who's a longtime ally, somebody we have treaties with, somebody we have mutual defense interests with, somebody we share intelligence with, a country that we have strong cultural ties to, both historic and secular. We're essentially putting a marker down against a blatant terrorist attack directed by the government that runs Gaza. Let's be clear. And so you have the same attack, but it's not an attack based on an attack on a religious group. It is the ultimate hate crime. And if we don't stand up and separate the money between Ukraine and Israel, if we don't stand with Israel and Israel alone and separate out the money that Joe Biden wants to give to Hamas and not give it, and separate the money he wants to give to the Palestinian Authority and not give that money, we have to make a stand against terrorism. We have to make a stand against Hamas and against the terrorism that exists and against the Islamic Jihad that exists. And it can be unequivocal because of and mixing it up with the battle over Ukraine equivocates the whole thing and makes it so we aren't so effectively. It is nothing more and nothing less than Joe Biden taking advantage of a crisis to try to get funding for things that otherwise wouldn't be funded. By the way, the funding for the Ukraine-Israel package also includes billions for border under the guise of border security, but it isn't shutting the borders down. It's basically hiring people to process people coming across the border more rapidly and to provide them with housing and support wherever they get stuck in America and transportation to elsewhere in America. So the money that Joe Biden wants in that package for border has nothing to do with security. It has everything to do with more rapidly transferring people from the border to the interior of our country. And that has to be cut out also. So, but Israel cannot be missed. Israel had a military attack against civilians designed to slaughter civilian targets.
And they did.
It is the definition of terrorism. Yeah. And they accomplished that mission.
Yeah.
And Israel has every right to respond. It is our moral responsibility to get aid to Israel as rapidly as possible. And the military aid, not just to defend their borders, military aid to conduct an offensive war, whether it be in Lebanon, the West Bank, or in Gaza.
You know, I agree 100%, Rick, with you about our partnership, our backing, our support for Israel. That was a jihad attack. It was intended to be genocide. And that, of course, is clearly spelled out in the entire Islamic canon, from the Quran to the Hadiths to the Sirah. But here's the connection I see. The actual sponsor, director, funder, armor, trainer of Hamas and those attacks, as well as the attacks coming from the north from Hezbollah and out of Judea and Samaria, the thing that ties all of that together, the director of all of that, is the Islamic Republic of Iran. Iran is the one behind the attempt to obliterate not just the Jewish state of Israel, but Jews. And there's the connection. Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, is a close ally of Russia, which invaded Ukraine. One can very well make the argument that genocide has been committed there, attacks against civilians, the mass kidnapping of children, over 700,000 Ukrainian children kidnapped. That's genocide, according to the formal definition. But more to the point, it's a war of conquest. So one, a war of genocide, the other, a war of conquest with genocide as part of it. Ukraine stands on the border between the savagery of Russia and NATO. And that's why we support them, even though they're not a formal ally, not a NATO ally, neither is Israel. But they guard the approach of Russia.
I just think it's important that we separate. There's a legitimate argument about whether or not we should provide $61 billion to Ukraine to pay for pensions for the government employees, support their farmers, and basically keep their whole life, the existence of Ukraine alive. That is a legitimate argument that should be held separately in the House of Representatives and in the Senate than the argument about, we have a moral responsibility to make sure Israel exists.
Well, I think, let me
we're going to have that length out.
Let me agree with you there, Rick, and add what you're saying.
I think that they
should be separated. And I think the other piece to this that we need to understand, and Claire, you and I have been on the same side on Ukraine, and I'm not changing my position relative to my concerns about what that means. Here's what I am concerned about, and I think we all need to be, and you've brought this point up, and that is the concern about the attack right here in our country. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, if Israel is not helped and allowed, and you talked about them bringing soldiers up, David and I talked on the program about the fact that Israel did not necessarily have all of the tools to fully equip all of their 300,000 reserve soldiers. And Biden and this administration stole from Israel what some of the pieces that they needed and would be counting on in the face of this, and that is dangerous and deadly. But my point is that if Israel does not make a strong move here and pretty much wipe Hamas off the face of the earth, what we're going to see is we're going to see the emboldening that we've seen in France, in Germany, in the UK, And even some of it has happened right here. There have been Americans that have died on our soil since October 7th that can be pretty clearly linked to terrorists. And that's why there's America better step up. And these mealy-mouthed people that are running around thinking that it's not going to impact them, I pray it doesn't happen, but there are places in this country where they will start knocking on your doors, they will go into your homes, and they will slaughter, and it will happen like that, like that, like that.
They're all over the United States. We don't know how many. Our enemies, including Iran, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Islamic State, would have to have been brain dead not to have seeded that flow with their own jihadis, never mind the Chinese jungle tigers as well.
Yeah. Rick, you were going to say, go ahead.
And hence, once again, we need to deal with the Israel aid first and then deal with the Ukrainian aid, because I think there's a consensus around supporting Ukraine. But I think at least there's enough votes to get Ukrainian aid done. But we need to create accountability for it to make certain that it's not just being stolen. And then secondly, although I personally would go a different direction, but I also think we have to bolster our own munitions capacity. We have to be building weapons rapidly to resupply the world and ourselves. And three, we have to take the money that Biden wants on the border, change it from being out of those border patrol agents, but actually shut our border down.
Yep. Yes.
Say no more immigration. I know we've got 1 minute left, but there was a chart that came out from Homeland Security yesterday. Mm-hmm. 3 million people, illegals, mm-hmm. encounters at our border in the last 12 months, 3 million. We went from having 90,000 encounters at the border in the January of 2021 when Biden took office to 300,000 encounters at the border. It is not on a monthly basis. We are being invaded.
Yep.
Some of that money needs to be put forward to protect the border. And with our new speaker, who I think will get elected today, hopefully that we will be dealing with Biden, the borders, and the budget. And in dealing with the Biden, the borders, and the budget, we will just put a narrow focus on fixing our border and protecting our country. And what we have to do in the world in terms of Ukraine, in terms of Israel, we have to fund Israel. And we can have a fight about Ukraine, but I believe we will fund Ukraine. And that's an important – but we have – this is a problem. When we've been put in a hole, and now we're going to have to fight our way out of it. And I believe we're going to end with a speaker today, Mike Johnson, and hopefully that will be the first step towards fighting out of this hole and dealing with getting Israel the funds they need right now. By the way, Israel has about $3 billion of funds that have been allocated that the Biden administration needs to release to Israel from the previous budget.
Claire, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I agree completely with the emphasis that Rick just put on our southern border and regaining control of our own sovereign territory. And then looking inwards to the United States, where so many millions are here and many of them with malintent against America, we need to look to our internal domestic defense as well as closing the border and supporting our friends and allies who are fighting tyranny, genocide, and invasion.
Hear, hear. Thank you both. It's always such a joy, and I so appreciate having both of you on the program so we can get this important information out to our audience. I thank you for that, and we'll have this video up shortly so that you can be shared far and wide. Folks, it's so important. This is a fight we cannot afford to lose. Cannot afford to lose. Thank you both for being here today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
You bet. All right, Chosen Generation Radio coming up, hour number 3, right after this, and we'll talk about fake news right after this brief break.